Back in the late 80s, when the Great Wall of Berlin finally came down, that wall had stood for so long representing oppression and a lack of freedom and separating families, confinement. How excited so many of those, especially college students, were to take out their little hammers and chisels and sit on top of that wall and begin chipping it away and knocking it down. You can still find pieces of it being sold on eBay today. I've seen sections of that wall, large portions that have been brought over to the United States and put on display over here and sent around the country, full of graffiti and so on. It's interesting, when that wall came down, the wonderful things that it tended to symbolize for the people of Europe. It's fitting for us today, as we look at the second petition of our Lord in this series, in this week when we focus on the work of Jesus as the great high priest and the high priestly office of Christ, to consider how Christ has broken down the great wall and monument of sin that separated us from God and has now created an access for us to be able to come to God, which is why he teaches his faithful that we can pray directly to him, our Father who art in heaven, and to think of him the way a child would think of his loving dad. Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Now, sad to say, if you're like me, I find myself often praying through the Lord's Prayer and rambling through the petitions without as much thought as I should give them. And it's easy for us sometimes to take for granted these beautiful golden words of Christ. When you look at this prayer, it's just an amazing profession of faith. It's an amazing summary of, you might say, all of the essential doctrines of the faith as well. And there's such beauty and strength inside of them. And Christ gives it to us not just as the only prayer we can pray, of course, but as a model prayer. And there's much that we can learn about how we should pray and in the way we should pray based on Jesus' words. So today we consider this special second petition, Thy Kingdom Come. Now think of it, first of all, in terms of the order in which this comes. Christ considers this request of God to be second only to the hallowing of God's name. That's how essential our Lord Jesus sees this request as far as the things we bring before the throne of God. It's the most important petition next to the hallowing of God's name. It's as if Jesus is saying to us, my faithful in this world, you are still in a very dangerous place. There's still a battle going on for your soul and for your heart, and especially for your eternal future. And so this petition has been given to the members of Christ's church, has been given to you to use in this great battle and struggle that goes on in the world. The world that we live in is described by the Bible as the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil. This is where he has his reign and where he has his field day to go after us and so on. And those principalities and powers of darkness that are present in the world all around us are still seeking to devour us. But Jesus himself has come into this world, and with the work of his Holy Spirit through his means of grace, through word and sacrament, has established a new heavenly kingdom that now comes to us where the Holy Spirit does his work. And when that is taken into our hearts by faith, where the Holy Spirit creates that love for Christ in our hearts, Jesus says to his faithful, the kingdom of God is within you, and his kingdom is not of this world. Now, when we pray this petition, thy kingdom come, as Luther explains, the kingdom of God can certainly come without our prayer. God can do anything he wants. Would it be absolutely necessary for us to have to pray this petition is kind of the question that Luther is asking. But there must be great benefit to the church. There must be great personal benefit to you as a member of Christ's church for our Lord to give you this command that this is something very significant to ask for, that God's kingdom would come to us. Because Jesus would not give us empty words or meaningless words to say. He wouldn't waste the time and the mouths and the lips of the members of his church on something that was irrelevant. So for us in any way to diminish the significance of this great petition, thy kingdom come, for us in any way to assume that it really has no power or no blessing for us, is to slap Christ in the face. Our Lord Jesus specifically commands that this request be made because he knows it is of great benefit to us and to the work of God's kingdom in the world. And in many ways, you could say that this petition is the essential statement for us in this world. It's the essential request of the Holy Christian Church in this world. Without the coming and without the continued assistance of the kingdom of God among us through word and sacrament, none of the other petitions matter, and nothing else that we do would matter. Notice, too, just where Jesus places this. This prayer, as I said, covers so many aspects of life. But spiritual matters, Christ elevates higher than anything else. And that alone he wants us to learn. So thy kingdom come seems like a petition, if you will, that we shouldn't have to necessarily pray. But when we think that way, it's because we fail to see the great blessings and the power that Christ has attached to this sacred petition. Think about the story of Abraham in the Old Testament, going before God on behalf of the city of Sodom. And God had announced to him that he was going to wipe it off the face of the earth, which he later did. But Abraham pleaded with God, and through his prayers, through each petition, knocked it down about 10 at a time, and finally got it down to a number that he thought there certainly have to be that many faithful in the city. Sad to say, there still weren't. Had he taken it one step further, might that have altered the history for Sodom? According to the Lord's explanation, yes. Think of the power that God places into the lips of his faithful in this world when they pray to him and make requests for him. How many times have you been preserved in our Christian faith, or had an additional gift of faith or divine wisdom given to us, or how many times has the gospel reached a little bit further in this world because a fellow believer in Christ prayed this petition? How many times has that happened just in your life? That'd be interesting to find out someday. The very existence of faith in our heart, the very action inside of us that causes us to realize our many sins before God and repent of them, the very activity of faith that holds on to the cross and cherishes what Christ has done, that loves the forgiveness of sins, that looks forward to going to heaven, the longing in us to be in our heavenly home, that activity is all because in this world, believers have been continually praying, "Thy kingdom come. Keep sending us your grace. Keep doing your work among us through your Holy Spirit." Wouldn't it be interesting if you could actually trace a spiritual blessing you and I have been given in our lives back to the lips of somebody maybe in the generation ahead of us? Who uttered this petition on your behalf that God specifically connected to how he had it play out in your life through your baptism or confirmation or something? And likewise for us, when we utter this petition to God, how does God specifically use that request as he spreads the work of his kingdom in this world of darkness? Our Lord answering this prayer and request made by his faithful in the world may be the strongest connection to the faith that's presently in our hearts right now, as far as how that has been worked through God's word and sacrament. And so Christ gives us this as a model prayer, and yet the church, of course, has decided to pray this prayer often, as we will soon sing in one of our hymns. Pray it often. Pray it boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Take God at his word. I'd like to close with a simple little illustration that Dr. Luther uses in his explanation in the Large Catechism about this petition. He says, imagine a very wealthy landowner, an emperor who has just vast treasures, and he invites a beggar off of the street to come to him and request anything that he has that he'd be willing to give to him. And so the beggar meekly comes before the throne and asks the emperor if he can have a cup of broth. And the emperor is frustrated because he has so much more to give. He has so much of a vast treasure that he's willing to give, and yet the request is so small. How do you and I possibly come a little too small with our requests before God? He invites us to come boldly. And just think, someday in heaven we may find out that he had vast treasures, not just earthly treasures, but vast treasures that he was willing to dump down on us and deliver to us if only we had asked. So let us take our Lord at his word and the wonderful command that he has given us and continue to pray, "Thy kingdom come." Amen.